doctor turned young adult writer, our next guest, and now adult fiction writer as well, is Eileen Merriman. She's got a new book out, The Night She Fell. Eileen is clinical director of hematology and lead thrombosis clinician at North Shore Hospital. In The Night She Fell, a clever and beautiful law student from a wealthy family falls to her death from three stories up in her Dunedin student flat. Who done it, or who done what, and why? Quote, plenty of people had a reason to hate Ashley, with her straight A's and perfect looks. She's fallen out with her flatmates, and her boyfriend Xander is having second thoughts about their future together. And then there are the weird messages. Dr. Eileen Merriman, hello.
Hello.
I always ask this of clever, multi-talented people with superb time management. How do you write best-selling books, win awards for them, and short stories, and manage to be a hematologist at North Shore Hospital?
People always ask me that. One of the nurses, I think she put her thumb on it when she said, you're an active relaxer, aren't you? She said, don't you ever just blob in front of the TV? And I was like, well, you know, I've usually got something on my lap, like my laptop or a book or something like that. And I think I also read quite fast. I speed read. So I think that's one of the things that helps me get through information quite fast. And I just really like to finish projects. I like to do projects and then finish them. So once I get my teeth into something, I just want to keep on going.
Okay, that's the secret of success. A taut thriller, this one, about brittle med students in Dunedin, their drugs and disguises. I'm quoting. A lot of people talk about doctors and why there aren't that many of them and how after a couple of decades of fiddling around, we don't seem to have a proper system for keeping them in the provinces, and you know we don't indenture them properly. And of course, there is the stress of getting through the first year of health sciences and trying to get into med school, which you know all about.
Absolutely.
Talk about stress. There is a lot of it in your profession, isn't there? That's the thing.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of stress at the moment. I think yesterday there were two doctors doing the work of seven. we're very short staffed at the moment. I still like my job.
Yeah, well, I can imagine that. And I'm not about to get too political with you. But you would... We suspect that many who fail that first year and end up just not becoming doctors would make perfectly good doctors.
Yep.
And you've seen that too. You must have.
Well, yeah. I didn't get into medicine the first time I tried. Yeah. Probably because my chemistry let me down. But I did a degree and went into it from there. And we see quite a few graduates coming through and they're often more mature and they're more determined because they've wanted to do medicine all along. But I don't think you need to be an A-plus student to be a good doctor.
No.
But that's the grades you need to get in from first year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Dunedin student life, in real life, it's clearly different from when I was there. When I go back, North End's got more graffiti. It's fairly grimy in your book. Do you ever go back?
Yeah, I go back all the time because my husband, that's where he lived and that's where I met him. And every now and then, for nostalgia's sake, I'll go up into the student area and sometimes I'll drive up to the hostel that I was in. And parts of it have changed and parts of it still look pretty run down and grimy. And then I get stories from my nieces and think nothing much has changed that much, you know, really, in terms of social aspects.
I'm assuming your time at Otago wasn't as tumultuous as it is for all the inhabitants of the flats in this novel.
There's aspects of various people that I've drawn on, but they're not all necessarily like that. But I do remember first year being quite hard. My first term, I was quite homesick, and there's quite a lot to be thrown into, you know.
It is a lot to be thrown into.
And quite a few personalities, and interesting to see what happened to everyone. Some interesting flatmates along the way. But mostly I had a good time, and once I got to med school, I had a great time.
The Night She Fell.
Yep.
Suicide, accident, or murder? Which one is it in the book, please?
Oh, I'm not going to tell you that. We might as well stop the interview now.
I know which one it was, and I have to say I was surprised. You'd want to be the boyfriend of the sadly demised Ashley in this novel because her parents have supported him, the boyfriend, through med school.
Yeah.
Wow.
They have. Yeah.
It's a good family to come from. I know Ashley has her faults in this book. You know, she's a bit spoiled and imperious, and she dies quite soon. But I have to say I liked her more as I read the book, which is a strange thing to say when she dies on page one. Hmm. Are you at all like Ashley?
I think there's parts of me in every character, really.
Always wanted to be a doctor.
I always wanted to be a doctor, yeah.
Which she doesn't. But you excelled at English.
True, true.
So why did you become a doctor instead of a professor of English literature?
I guess because I knew that I wasn't going to probably earn a whole lot of money, or, you know, unless I decided to be an English teacher or something like that. Mm. But also I was actually really fascinated with medicine from when I was about 8 or 9. So I had these, I wrote from when I was about 8 or 9, but I also thought, I really want to be a doctor. So, and it's such a privilege now to be able to do both of those things.
You're an expert in blood clots.
Yeah.
I think people are quite afraid of blood clots because the topic...
They should be.
Well, yes. Yeah. And the topic comes up in conversations sometimes, in fact, fairly regularly, and people don't know much about them. What do people tend to ask you about medically at parties when they find out what you do?
Sometimes I'll say, oh, haematology, so you're in the lab, and I'll say, actually, I don't do a lot of lab, although I'm qualified in the lab. Most of my work is clinical.
Yeah.
Sometimes they'll say, yeah, I knew someone with leukemia. Or sometimes, oh, yeah, no, I had blood clots in my lungs. But most people are quite restrained and don't ask for too much of a consult at a party, which is quite good.
Yeah, that's...
And sometimes they just look intimidated and you think, oh, no, it's not, you know, it's not that terrible.
And getting back to the stress of the medical profession, writing became therapy for you, I think, after heavy days in the clinic, didn't it, as well?
Yeah. Well, when I started as a first-year consultant, which was 2011, I had just returned from Australia doing a fellowship, and I'd never worked in Auckland before, so I didn't really know anyone. And they were all lovely to me, but I just had imposter syndrome and, you know, just felt completely out of my depth and as if maybe I didn't want to even do medicine anymore for a while, which is not that uncommon in your first year, and especially in females with young families and, you know. And so I decided I needed a hobby again because I'd spent all these years studying. And I thought, writing's something I used to do until I was about 18, and this is nearly 20 years later, you know, or a little bit less than that. So I just started writing again and suddenly thought, wow, I feel so relaxed. When I finished after an hour, I thought, oh, my brain was actually occupied, not mulling on all these patients and the things I might have done wrong or the things I should have done better. And so even though I thought it would be nice to get published, that wasn't actually the primary aim.
You're lucky, aren't you?
Yeah, really lucky.
Your first submitted book draft came back with what encouraging 3 words from the reader?
So I submitted this to Barbara Else, and she wrote, and I thought it would be a bestseller, and she wrote partway through, nothing is happening.
Nothing
so
is
really,
happening.
Oh no. Yeah.
But you learned from that.
I did learn from that. I realised, right, it's about time I enrolled in that creative writing course I could never afford before.
New Zealand may well become the new Norway or Sweden, mightn't it, for crime and thriller writers, if it isn't all becoming that already?
Yeah, there's quite a few people around now, some of whom are good friends. Writing some amazing fiction.
Even you, though, won't get rich as a writer, at least not yet. I mean, she's a hard row to hoe unless you're, presumably, unless you're optioned or there's a big TV series or something.
Or if you get a US contract.
US contract.
Yeah, if you sell into the US, they've got the volume. They've got the numbers.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got a few options on the go with young adult novels. So just it takes a while for them to make films and to see if they're going to get all the way through, but... They seem to be getting there in Australia with 2 of them.
I suppose people in the US read books like The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. They don't mind it's set in Scandinavia.
Yeah.
You would think that applied to New Zealand because we're exotic now, aren't we?
Well, yeah, but I don't know if the vast majority of people in the US really like reading books much outside the US.
Right.
And some of them don't even know we speak English. Having had a recent trip to the US and gone down south and through Alabama, etc., they don't always even know where we are. You know?
They're so impressed you've made an effort to learn the language.
That's right. They say, oh, you speak English really well.
So your main attribute that's the most important part of your recipe for success is just that you like to keep busy, really.
I think so, yeah. Persistence and keeping busy.
You've said, and I saw this in another interview with you, you've said, even if my work were never published, I would still be a writer.
Yeah, it gives you the chance to live in a fantasy world, basically. That's a guilty pleasure. No.
Yeah, and you have the Midas touch. But I'm sure there are great writers whose work doesn't see the light of day in this era. It's odd, isn't it? Because it seems harder to get recognised, and yet there are so many books. They come through our office hand over fist, and you wonder who reads them and if they're much read. I haven't worked all this out.
No, I still think if you're a good writer, that you will probably end up getting published eventually by a publisher, but you also need to be writing something that they think people want to read, that a large group of people want to read. So if you write something quite niche that maybe that 10 people might like, they're going to go, well, we can't make money out of that, you know?
I think your enjoyment of it comes through in the writing, even though there are great writers like James Joyce and Virginia Woolf who hated writing.
Yeah, can't imagine that.
Catch a Falling Star was dark, you know, vivid and full of life with your lovelorn protagonist, Jamie Orange, and Alexandria, the young woman with leukemia, and a lot of people have read it, so they'll know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
And The Night She Fell also has the energy of youth, being a student in Dunedin, but it's dark too. I mean, what happens in it is understandable for those of us who remember our youth, and also for your cohort of young readers. Now, it's very relatable. We can put ourselves right there or right back there, those of us who went to uni. But it's chilling as well. It's a chilling book.
Yep.
Doesn't that run counter to who you are? I imagine you've got quite a sunny disposition. Well, you do have a sunny disposition.
Yeah, no, I do. But I think a book's quite boring if it's just all happy and pedestrian and, you know, I want something to be happening and dark things do happen, and sometimes I think, how did that happen and why did that happen, and try to make a story out of it, you know, because you see funny headlines all the time and you just think, oh my goodness, happened there, you know.
I'm sorry it happened to Ashley in the book.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. She seemed like a very accomplished young woman.
Yeah.
I read one review and it said more or less that the book is an examination of narcissism. I suppose it can be read that way. I read it as an examination, if you want to put it that way, which sounds a bit clinical, an examination of the traps you can get into when you are young. That will be the book's echo for me.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think people can go off down paths they might not otherwise have taken, you know, and then they get committed to some path and think, well, I need to see that through, not understanding the consequences of what might happen in the end.
Especially when you're young.
Especially when you're young and something seems like it's always going, it's the whole world, you know, and that time is the whole world, and it does take place only over a few months, and so it's very concentrated, and it gets into winter and the world gets smaller and smaller, you know. Dunedin's gets quite small in that time.
Yeah.
Or that time of year, and the days are short, and, you know, so there's that whole sense of darkness and energy and,
And as we find out what happened to Ashley and why she fell on the night she fell, you realise that young people also see maybe two steps ahead instead of three, four, five later on, maybe that kind of process. But they don't realise that. It's impossible to realise when you're young.
That's right, yeah. Especially if you don't see yourself being an older person, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if youth is wasted on the young, but first year uni could well be a life... there should be Life Survival 101. That would be a useful first course.
Absolutely.
It's a great read. It's a page turner. It's an ending you can't guess. What more can people ask for?
Well, I hope they don't want any more than that. So, you know.
Will you ever become a full-time writer and leave medicine behind or not?
Probably not till I'm older, because I actually quite like my day job. I may not like it all the time, and especially when you get woken at 4:30 a.m. like I did this morning. But I do like it, and I've got huge skills there now. I've got a lot of expertise, and so I don't think I'll ever fully leave it behind. But maybe when I'm, you know, 65 or 70, because you can keep writing forever, you know.
You got enough young haematologists coming through to keep you company?
Not so sure about that.
No.
We need to train more, but we need more funding. We need to retain them. It's quite hard when Australia pays 40% more, you know.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
But New Zealand's still a good place to work for lots of other reasons. So when I know the doctors rotating through our department really seem to enjoy it, so we just try and retain them and... say come back. You know,
congratulations on The Night She Fell. Always tricky to talk about the novels when you don't want to give anything away.
Did well.
But there's quite a lot around why she fell the night she fell, as people can probably guess before they start reading it.
That's right.
And well done on your day job too.
Great, thank you for having me.
Dr. Eileen Merriman.